We're here today for the Alumni Podcast with Christine Goldsmith, the Library Director here at Rossford Public Library. And I just wanted to first off ask about your time at Rossford High School and maybe any favorite class or teacher or whatever wanted to share.
Well, it was wonderful. It was the, you know, the big mid-80s, so everything was huge. Hair, collars were up. It was very a very bright and colorful time of life. Anyway, I loved being at Rossford High School. It was very fun. I was always a creative person. So a lot of my classes that I enjoyed the most were, I loved art class. Dave Matthews was the art teacher, and he was so laid back. Like, you would just go in there and we learned technique, but we'd have the radio on and he would just kind of come around and circulate and sit and talk to the kids. And, you know, he talked to the guys about basketball and the girls. He'd talk to us about, he had a daughter who was a runner. We did a lot of cool art projects and it was just a very, it was like a familial atmosphere. Before, when I was like in junior high and the art room was way in the basement, like over by the home ec room, they had this mural on the wall, and I still remember it was The Potato Eaters by Van Gogh. It was painted by the seniors, and I was in seventh grade, and I thought that was just a masterpiece, and that inspired me to want to continue to do more art and to be better at my art. So that was one of my favorite things. I also really enjoyed American Lit. Faye Jaeger was the teacher, and I think about it now, she interjected a lot of literature phrases in the classroom. So we would be sitting there and maybe somebody was messing around a little bit, and she would say, "Good fences make good neighbors," and she'd make the kids separate. Or, you know, she would say, idle hands are the hobgoblins of little minds," if you weren't doing anything. But at the end of the class, she'd say, "And miles to go before I sleep." So I get that now, but it was a really fun class. I remember a lot about American literature. That's probably why I like library stuff now too. I mean, I had a good basis for that. Those were probably my two favorite things. And I liked the band. I was not a very good clarinet player at all. I sat usually last chair, second to last, but at the time you had to be in the band to be a majorette. So I was a twirler. I was a very poor clarinet player, but a good twirler. And we had Mr. Byler. He was our band director. And I do remember one time we twirled Fire, and there was a torch at the end of the sidelines, and Mr. Byler backed right up into it, and his polyester pants melted right to his leg. I don't think it was a big deal. I think he just patted it out with his hand and didn't miss a beat and kept going. I don't think we twirled Fire after that, though. But he was a very stern teacher, but I really appreciated him later. He really got the job done, and we learned a lot from him, too.
I love it. I did not know Mr. Byler got caught on fire, but it's
he
good to
did.
Know. And I will say, they might not be using the radio now, but there are still in some classes some Pandora and Spotify being played.
No cassette tapes anymore. Right?
And so now you're the library director here. How did that kind of come to fruition?
Oh, wow. So I have a very unusual career path. My background is actually in marketing. For years, I worked in retail. So I was at, when I was in school, I worked at Hudson's, but I then took a job as a window dresser and display department personnel at Jacobson's, which was a specialty store out at Franklin Park Mall. And I loved, of course, like I said, I'm a creative person. I did all the windows, the Christmas displays, all the mannequins and things like that, which I've kind of carried a lot of that over. That's, you know, do the bushes outside and do the trees here and everything. So it is very relatable. But, and then I worked my way up there, and I was assistant store manager and was the personnel director at the time when they closed. So after retail, I took some time off with my family and tried to decide what I wanted to do. And I was originally going to go back and take some classes and get a teaching degree, but I saw an opening at the library. So it was for a children's programmer. So my kids were small, and I was volunteering at the schools in their classrooms, so I knew a lot of kids. And when I came here, I thought, okay, you know, everybody in their class is into SpongeBob, so let's have a SpongeBob party, or everybody's into Beyblades or Pokemon or things like that. So we would do a lot of things that I knew that the kids liked when I started as a programmer. Then I became in the children's department full-time, and then I became at the reference desk, and then I became the assistant director for about 4 or 5 years, and now I'm the new director. So it's a kind of an unusual career path. My background's not library, but I think that everything that I do here sort of harkens back to my retail days. Like, our books are our product, our patrons are our customers. We still need to market ourselves. We still need to make people realize why they need the library, why the library is important. Things that they don't know that we have. We're just growing and changing with the times. And so we try to be proactive, but we also flex to meet the needs of the community too. And every community is different. So I think because I was born and raised and I came to story time here with Mrs. Gladio at the library when I was a child, that's what makes it easy for me and makes me have more knowledge in my job, because I have the pulse on the community, I think, and I've been here for a long time.
What is your favorite book or author?
Okay, well, I tend to read a lot of nonfiction. So my favorite authors tend to be people that write things. I like memoirs. I like books about real things. So it's, you know, I like to read... memoirs about people that I've seen on TV, biographies, or I like Mindy Kaling. I like her as an actress and writer, but I like her books. I've read some Nicholas Sparks books that I've enjoyed. I read a lot of children's books over the years, so my tastes are pretty varied. I tend to like historical fiction when I do read fiction, so I think there's a part of me that really likes to feel like I'm learning something or absorbing something from the past. I really like history, so I do read a lot of things of Toledo history, a lot of things from our local history about the days when we were, like, you know, bootlegging and things like that in the gambling houses and the old restaurants and things like that in the North End. I like to read Toledo history. I like Rossford history.
A local history book that everybody should read?
A Toledo one. There's one called Nothing Personal, Just Business. That's one that I like. It just tells about, you recognize stores or restaurants and streets and things like that, that when it was back in the days of the Lickavola gang and the gangsters and things like that, to know that, like, oh, I've gone to that place, or I've been there, and like the history of it. I really enjoy that. I enjoy some of the Toledo crew true crime stories. Frank Stiles is a Toledo police detective, and he wrote some books that we have here about some true things that happened in Toledo. I enjoy reading those. And of course, as I recall, Rossford history book. That's sort of a go-to for anybody here that wants to learn about Rossford history.
There's been so much changes with the library. Do you want to kind of go through them? I mean, just for people to know, but I mean, I look at the COVID resources that you guys have been asked to provide, or the digital age and how you guys have shared new media and all that. If you want to just...
Oh, absolutely. So I have been here, I'm going into my 20th year here. So I think back to when I first started and some of the things that we offered then. We had 6 public computers. They were huge. They had the big back on them. They were the big, like, you know, cream colored ones. And 6 people could use a computer. I mean, you know, now we have like 20 some computers. Digitally, everything is available. We have ebooks. We have streaming movies and audio things that, you know, when I was a kid, we had vinyl records here. So everything evolves, and we try and keep up with everything. But I would say we used to have VHS tapes. Of course, now we have DVDs and Blu-rays, and we're doing a lot of streaming. So there are still people that take out a lot of physical materials like that. But I would say that's probably the big change, is the technology. We offer technology help. We offer Wi-Fi hotspots. You know, that wasn't even a thing when I started here. I mean, it was... You know, they were using computers to check things out when I came here. But, you know, back in the day when they would stamp the date due cards, it's changed a lot. I would say the clientele has changed in what people are looking for. Our patrons are more sophisticated. They're looking for more technology-based things. We still have people, though, that prefer an actual book in their hand as opposed to only electronic resources. You know, the programming has changed a little bit. People are busier. There's not as much free time. I think there's a lot of still story times and young early literacy programs are still strong. I think we're strengthening that. It has changed, though. I mean, we're offering now the concerts on the lawn in the summer. I personally feel that everybody pays for the library, but not everybody uses it. So trying to offer something for people that don't use us for traditional services. So if you're, you know, going down the street and hear a concert going on, that's something that we can offer the community that maybe someone's never come in. Maybe they will come in. You know, that's one thing we try and be what we can for everyone. And as you said, the COVID testing, we worked with the state of Ohio and the Wood County Health Department to be a site for free COVID test pickup. I mean, last year, right after Christmas, we gave out 900 tests in 5 hours. It was all hands on deck. And we only distribute them curbside. So we ask that people call when they get in the parking lot, and we just take them out to the curb so that there's, you know, if someone's not feeling well, we don't have them in. But yeah, that's something that's a big service that I think libraries are a central point in the community. So people think to libraries for that. I think it's been a good thing. You know, free Wi-Fi. We leave our Wi-Fi on. Some libraries turn their Wi-Fi off, but we leave it on. Yeah, we try and be whatever we can be, anticipate the needs of the community.
I have a new question I'm going to end on, which I think is really fun. When you graduated, what was the best place to eat in town?
Well, back then, in town, there wasn't a whole lot. I would say we went to McDonald's. I think that opened in like 1981 or 1982.
Maybe Toledo, not just Toledo? Rossford. Yeah.
Oh, my
favorite
goodness.
Place to eat when you graduate.
Okay, well, I can tell you a little story about this. When I was a senior, it was my birthday, and one of my favorite places to eat was Pizza Hut. And I walked in with my mom and my sister that evening, and I saw my friends sitting around a table, and I thought, wow, that's not really very nice. They're coming here on my birthday and didn't even ask me. Well, I didn't know, but they were there. My parents, my mom had arranged for them to meet me there. So I think Pizza Hut was probably our hangout in Perrysburg, but it was a little bit different. We were, it was in the 80s. It was mostly chain restaurants. There wasn't a whole lot that I can remember places that we ate other than that.
Terrific. Well, thank you so much for chatting with us. And the library is beautiful here. If people haven't visited, beautiful library, great staff. So thank you so much for everything you're doing.
Thank you.
Awesome. That's our alumni podcast for this week.